Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
I was surprised about the election. Very honored, very flattered, very grateful for the trust of my brother bishops.
That's New York Archbishop Timothy Dolan reacting to his election earlier this week as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. If you read the news coverage of this, they're talking about a shift to the right, conservative, sometimes moderate liberal. Those labels seem to be kind of confusing when it comes to coverage of religion and religious news. Labels are useful in everyday life, aren't they? I mean, we label our cans so we know what's inside. What about the labels we use, especially in religion coverage? Joining us to talk about this, Terry Mattingly. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, and he's author of the weekly On Religion column, Four Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
How did the New York Times characterize the recent change of leadership in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops?
Well, they used a very familiar template that we see in a lot of religion coverage, and it's one that we've written about the whole life of Get Religion, and essentially it goes like this. It seems that in the world of religion, as there often is true in politics, but in religion especially, there are moderates, there are conservatives, and then sometimes there are fundamentalists. On the other side, you have people who are called progressives, but nobody really knows what that word means. In the coverage, not just of the New York Times, I don't know if we should single the New York Times out, but in most, 90% of the mainstream coverage, what we heard about this election, this very shocking election of Archbishop Dolan from New York as the president of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, what we heard over and over and over again was that this was a massive victory for a resurgent conservative bloc among the bishops. And this is in large part, it was shocking for two reasons. The bishops always have, you know, for like 30 years, or as long as they've been in their current form of organization, they've elected their vice president to be the next president, which means the elections that have mattered for several decades have always been the elections for VP. The person who was the president just moved up a notch, if that makes sense. But this time, for the first time in history, literally, they chose, instead of moving the vice president up, they chose to go ahead and someone else ran. In fact, there were multiple candidates who ran, and the person who was expected to win just by automatically did not. Now, so how this sets up is they elected one of the most effective communicators out of the bishops. They also, of course, elected the man who is the Archbishop of New York. I mean, so this is already one of the highest profile, you know, cities. And the person who lost was someone who had been hailed by kind of the progressive wing of the church. In other words, what I'm hinting at here is the liberal wing of the church, Bishop Gerald Kakanis of Tucson, and he lost. So in the New York Times, what you heard, and what you heard in other newspapers as well, was essentially conservatives win, moderates lose. And that's, if you stop and think about it, I did a very close analysis of this that just went up at Get Religion last night. It essentially noted that what's missing here is the left. I mean, the person who is the hero of the left, and which some call the great, you know, the person who was endorsed by the Catholic left, who was endorsed by, in a very badly timed move, by the way, was endorsed by the Rainbow Slash movement, one of the larger gay rights movements that picket the Catholic Church and disrupt masses and stuff. They endorsed Kakanis, and he also had kind of a mixed history on some issues. Most of all, he was known as a very soft, diplomat, someone who never said anything extreme, always wanted the left and the right to, he was the can't we all get along candidate. Then on the other side, someone who also lost in the race for vice president was someone who is openly identified as a conservative. And the issue that lurked over all of this, and we've discussed this in the past, the issue that loomed all over this was the issue of whether or not Catholics who are in political life, whether if they openly speak against the church, should their bishops ever consider disciplining them sacramentally, meaning saying you need to go to confession before you come back to the Eucharist. In other words, there needs to be some consequences for your consistent, steady disobedience of the church's teachings. As a Catholic, you can do whatever you want to do politically, but as a Catholic, we need to consider discipline.
All right, when we come back, we'll take up that subject. How have the bishops dealt with Catholics who publicly defy the church's positions? Terry Mattingly is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Do you wish that your pastor would preach more often from the Old Testament? Is it possible to find Christ for sinners in the Old Testament? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is titled, The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. This CD resource contains 61 sermon texts written by Dr. Ken Sherb. You can browse before you buy, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling 1-800-325-3040.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Another abortionist arrested.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A Charleston, South Carolina abortionist was recently arrested for pointing a gun at a peaceful protester outside of his abortion clinic. Activists participating in the 40 Days of Life vigil were handing out literature near the Charleston Women's Medical Center when the incident occurred. When one of the protesters offered literature to the occupant of a slowly approaching car, he was confronted with a firearm. The man holding the gun was Dr. Gary Boyle, who now faces the felony charge of pointing a firearm at someone, which carries up to 5 years in prison.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of GetReligion.org, about the media coverage of the Fall General Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Terry, before the break, you were talking about the big kind of sticking point being how bishops deal with public Catholics who defy the church's positions. How have the bishops dealt with this problem?
Well, there have been multiple stances on that. I promise this is a long answer, but you got to understand the labels. There have been bishops who have openly advocated this step and have said, you know, that, for example, they've told politicians, you really need to think twice about what you're doing. These folks are the conservatives. The folks on the left on this issue are the folks that don't even want to discuss this option, even if Rome has discussed it. They really want to say, this is wrong, this is bad, we shouldn't do it. Okay, that's the left. Okay, so how do these people line up in this election? Well, the person who lost, Charles Chaput, Archbishop Chaput of Denver, is someone who hasn't actually taken communion away from someone, but has told politicians they really should think twice, and he has told Catholics that the Vatican has said that it is there are very rare circumstances under which you should vote for someone who is an open and consistent advocate of abortion. on the left, you have Kakanis being one of these guys who kind of represents the, this is just wrong, let's not even talk about it. In the middle, you have Archbishop Dolan of New York, someone who is very outspokenly pro-life, someone who has been a fierce defender of the church's teachings, but has never advocated in any way the withdrawal of communion. So as you see, what we have there is a person on the left, a person on the right, and a person in the middle. The person in the middle won on this, on the issue that really has loomed over this entire fight. So what's the lead? Is the lead a moderate wins the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops election, or is the lead conservatives win and a moderate loses? Well, I don't think I need to tell you what most of the mainstream press did. I've also been searching for any newspaper article that quotes anyone from the right side, and I've yet to find one. There's got to be some out there. But in the big ones that I've seen, paying attention to the New York Times, LA Times, and elsewhere, I haven't seen anybody even talk to the winning side in terms of, obviously they covered Dolan's press conference, but no one's really interviewed the strategists on the other side or people who advocated the defeat of Kakanis. They've all taken quotes from the Catholic left or the center left. So, all in all, a very familiar template in place.
Is this an example of, I guess I'll give you three options here, Terry. Journalistic ignorance, and that is, you say often they'll just use the word Catholic, and they never explore as to what they mean by that, because that is a very complex subject when they talk about Roman Catholics. Is this journalistic ignorance? Is it intentional mislabeling, that is, ignoring that the left exists? Or is it just, as you have said, kind of following in the rut of this is how we talk about these situations?
Well, I would add one more that you and I have talked about. They look at this totally through a political lens, and they don't want to consider that the Catholic Church may actually need to enforce Catholic teachings on Catholics, and that is not the same thing as saying, hey, everybody, go vote for Republicans, because they have also enforced this on liberal Republicans. And I'd also like to point out that in some cases, the church has not spoken out against Catholics who have kind of a mixed record on abortion or on social issues. Someone who has sometimes voted with the pro-life movement, but on others has voted against it. No, they've really focused on the people who consistently and universally oppose the church's teachings in the political arena or in public life. So I think it's not just ignorance. I think it's they're using the terms they're used to, they're familiar with, and they're just in this rut. You know, we're going to cover this as if this was a political issue. We're not going to look at the doctrines. We're not going to look at the actual laws of the Catholic Church. And we're also not going to consider that the Catholic Church may not be a democracy. What the Pope says and what bishops say might actually have some authority for Catholics who want to proclaim that they're Catholics. Does that make sense?
If you were rewriting the lead, and beyond just the headline, how would it read on the recent change of leadership in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops?
You might say, you might lead by saying the progressive wing of the church or the liberal wing of the church lost, and that what emerged was a very public leader from New York who has been an outspoken Catholic but has not gone as far as the Catholic right has wanted him to go. In other words, but that's a long lead. You'd have to set up the three groups all in the same, you know, short opening statement. So you might just want to say that it was a win for conservatives in the church and a loss for liberals in the church, but also did not represent like a massive political victory for the right or something.
I want to come back to something you said just a moment ago, and that is, and I think this is demonstrable, maybe even self-evident, that in the U.S. press, there is a failure to understand that the Catholic Church is in fact not a democracy. It's quite the opposite of a democracy, and it's usually treated as though the Pope is this kind of distant creature out there who makes noise occasionally. Some tremble, some are delighted, but it doesn't really mean anything for American Catholics unless he decides to show up, and then everyone loves him. A few don't, but by and large, he's irrelevant. Reorient the way that we've heard about how the Catholic Church works in terms of decision-making, in terms of not just policy, but theology, even now in the 21st century.
I'm not quite sure I understand your question, except to say that mainly I just wish people would cover these events as if the Pope wasn't just offering his opinion. You know, in the Catholic Church, the Pope doesn't give opinions. He's the Pope. He has actual authority over the lives of his bishops, priests, and through them, to some degree, Catholic people, to the degree they wish to obey him by conscience. But if you want to be a practicing sacramental Catholic, that means being in that kind of relationship with the Catholic faith, you know, through confession and through the sacraments. Instead, what we consistently get is coverage of the Catholic Church that kind of makes it Protestant, you know, where the Pope has his say, we have our says, and we'll all just get along, and above all, nobody can really force us to do anything that we want, that we don't want to do. Well, I mean, nobody can force a Catholic to do something they don't want to do. I mean, there's no military state here or something. But if they want to be a practicing Catholic, they're supposed to practice the doctrine, faith, and discipline of the Catholic Church. I just wish people, I've said this so many times, but I just wish people would cover these things as religion stories and actually include, admit that there are debates within the Catholic Church, admit that people disagree with each other, but quote intelligent, informed people on both sides of the debates and cover the religious issue.
Then finally, on the issue of, and you kind of led us there, on the issue of a bishop, whoever it may be, saying publicly to a politician, you have a problem, you are a politician, you are acting politically against the teachings of the church, and we need to deal with this in some terms of discipline. That's usually covered as a bishop trying to impose his political will, his civil political will, through religious means. How would you rewrite that?
I've always wondered, I mean, why don't these politicians simply become Episcopalians or ELCA Lutherans? Or why don't they actually join a church of their own free will that fits the content of their beliefs? I mean, this is America. People get to do things like that. In, you know, in some states of the Union that are heavily Catholic, that might hurt you to some degree, but I don't think voters would hold that against somebody today. That option's never mentioned. Why don't political leaders actually join churches that believe the same things on the hottest issues of our day and go for it? I mean, kind of think of kind of a truth in advertising sort of clause. I think that's an interesting story. I've never heard a press conference in which one of these public leaders was asked that. I guess what they would say is, my Catholicism means a lot to me, and I don't agree with the church on everything, but I can't think of myself not as a Catholic. If that's the case, the Catholic Church has a right to act like the Catholic Church. I know we're going around in circles here, but it's circles the press is going around in, and so I guess that's why we just have to keep writing about it.
Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
You bet.
When we come back, your thoughts from the issues, etc., comment line. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.